Hello and good evening, and welcome to our Thursday night Transformation Bible Study. I'll greet you tonight, and I hope everybody had a good evening, and I hope that your day went well, and everything is good. So tonight, we're getting ready to go into our Thursday night Bible study, and just want to give people time to tune in and to log in tonight. So as people log in, I just want to begin to just thank everybody for their support and the participation in our Thursday night Bible study, as well as we will be doing our transition talk starting next Tuesday. So we'll be bringing those back to the forefront. So we just want to thank everybody for supporting us and thanking everybody for being with us, you know, on our social media platforms. And like we said, we're just getting started doing this, and we hope that it be a blessing to you. And so as people log in, and I'm just looking at a couple of chats here, people are commenting, coming in. So we just thank God for you. And I always like to start out with a prayer, because I know if your day like mine, sometimes you have a long day, you have a full day, and you know, you just want to get your mind off the cares of the day, no matter what you've been going through on your job or at home, or you know, even in your community or with family. Sometimes you just have those days. So we just want to pray for you. We want to pray together that, you know, maybe someone might need prayer today. You know, you might need some peace in your mind, or you might have some ailments in your body, but we want to pray that God will touch your body and give you peace in your mind even on today. Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now for another chance, oh God, another opportunity to give you praise, give you honor, give you glory for who you are in our life. Because God, we know it was you that woke us up this morning and started us on our day, kept us on our job, kept us over the dangerous highways. Lord God, you made provision for us throughout this day. And so, God, we just want to tell you thank you right now. Oh, some of us might be tired in our body, or God, it might have been a long day for some of us, but God, we pray right now you strengthen our mind and our bodies. And God, even throughout this evening, we find peace in our mind, that we rest our bodies, oh God, and just think about all the things you have done for us. And God, we pray for those that might need healing in their body tonight. Lord God, we ask you that you touch them in their homes or wherever they might be at, oh God, in a nursing home, in a hospital. Lord God, you go into that room and touch their body right now in the name of Jesus. And God, right now, as we get into your word, God, we can do nothing without you, God. So I pray right now, Heavenly Father, give me what to say and how to say it to your people. Lord God, let it be edification to you, God, and let it continue to bring us closer to you through your word. And God, we bless you now and give you all the praise. All the honor and glory belongs to you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So tonight, we're getting into our studies tonight. And I just want to touch briefly on last week when I was talking about in Bible study in regards to going from good to great, or stepping up from good to great. And one scripture that I made a point on was, you know, that we are created in the image and in likeness of God. And so when I was thinking about that and getting ready for tonight for the Bible study, you know, the Lord began to take me back to an old passage of scripture that most of us are familiar with, a passage of scripture that most of us might have dealt with in our teachings, or you might have heard a preacher preach about it, or you might have even read over the scripture yourself to get some strength, or even to help you go through life. So this is nothing new, what I'm going over tonight, but I think it is more practical and refreshing to let us know where we are in God and how God sees us. So tonight, we're going to get into the word of God, and we're getting into the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah tonight. We could be going there. And we'd be going into the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. The 18th chapter of Jeremiah. And I want to read verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah verses 1 through 6. And it says, let me get my readers here. I got to put my readers on. And the word of God says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. O house of Israel. So tonight, I want to focus on this one key scripture tonight. I want to focus on Jeremiah 18 and 6. And it says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in that potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O hand, is in my hand, O house of Israel. So tonight, I want to begin to talk about for a few minutes. I want to talk about tonight the potter and the clay. I want to talk about tonight the potter and the clay, the relationship of the potter and the clay. And like I said, this has been taught and preached about over so many times, and it's very prevalent even. How this scripture is laid out in Jeremiah, and how Jeremiah is used to be able to go down to the children of Israel and begin to help them to understand how God sees them as a nation. The relationship between God and this people, the children of Israel, how he sees them as a nation. And God used Jeremiah in this particular scripture or in this passage of scripture to begin to help them to understand how he see them as a nation. So tonight I want to talk about the potter and the clay and the relationship of those two, the relationship between the potter and the clay. And first I want to focus on the clay. I want to talk about the clay. And when we talk about clay, I want us to understand, and we know what the symbolization of this is. I don't have to get too rudimentary on this or elementary on this here. But we know that in this scripture, we're talking about the potter and the clay. And the clay is a representation of who we are. We are the clay. And God is the potter, or he is the one that basically molds the clay and shapes the clay. But I wanted to deal with this more tonight about what actually the clay is and how the clay originates and how the clay is formed. Because as we look at the clay, and I'm just going back from us being made, but I'm saying us, like I mentioned last week in our scripture, the Bible says we are created in the likeness of God. In him, he created male and female. He created them in his likeness. So we got to understand, first of all, that we know that man was created by God. God created man in his own image. And I want to expound on that, because when God created us, the Bible says he created us from the ground, from the earth. He took the earth and he formed and he shaped man. And the Bible says that after he shaped man, he breathed in him and he became a living soul. And it all goes on to say how he created Eve from the rib of Adam. And how he made both of them and says, I have made woman because she had came from the man's flesh, from the man's womb. And I have created man out of the ground, out of the earth. And why is that so important? Because as we look into this scripture, I want you to understand that God created us with his hands. God made us with his hands. But we're going to see in this passage of scripture is about shaping us, molding us, begin to form us into what God has us to be. And that's so prevalent because I want you to understand that when we was first created, when we was created, when humanity was created, we was created without sin. It was over, and I wrote this down, it's over the course of humanity, it was through sin, how we begin to conform to the things of the world, then more like God. As humanity continued to exist, as man and woman continued to live, it was through the conformity of this world that we begin to be more like the world than of God. Because in the beginning, when he created us, we was without sin. But David said in Psalms 51 and 10, he said that I was shaping into iniquity. Why am I emphasizing that? He didn't say I was created in iniquity. He said I was shaping into iniquity. And he goes on and says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So I want you to understand that he was shaped. Now as a humanity, after Adam and Eve have sinned, we have conformed more to the world as life go on. We have begun to be more world-like than more God-like. But I want to still to understand that we are still made and created in the image of God. I don't want you to lose focus on that. Even though the world has conformed us to some of the things that the world do, I want you to understand that we are still created in the image of God. For James 1 and 4 says that it was through the lust, our desires, how we begin to conform to this world. It's through the desires, our lust for the flesh, our lust for the eyes and the pride of life begin to conform us to the things of this world. We found these things more important, more essential than our Creator. It was through the desires of Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit that started sin to commence. It was through them eating of the forbidden fruit, their desire of it. For the Bible says that when she saw the fruit, when her eyes lay upon it, she desired of it. And as well, when the devil tempted Eve, he says, God knows that if you bite of this fruit, you shall not surely die, but you will be like him as a God. So it was the pride of life, these desires, the lust in our humanity part, that desire the things of this world. And over the course of life, it has not gotten better. I'm just going to make it clear and transparent as I can. But over the course of life, we are finding ourselves seeking or desire more things of the world. Our eyes want more. Our flesh want more. And I say a pride of life is more of a haughty life. You We are more haughty about our life. We are walking in a prideful spirit. These are the things that we desire in our flesh. And these desires have begun to take away or begin to dilute us, which is the clay. We are the clay. I want you to understand, I'm still talking about the clay here. Because I want you to understand, when I was looking up clay and I began to really dive into what clay really is, you know, there is a difference between clay and sand. And I knew there was, but I didn't know how detailed it was. But when we talk about clay, clay is a more macro particle. It's smaller than sand. And on top of that, clay absorbs water and nutrients. Sand, it does not absorb water. It absorbs very little water. And it does not hold any nutrients. That's why when you able to go on the beach, the water rolls back into the ocean, because the sand does not absorb water, or very little water. Clay is the type of mineral that when water presents itself, it begins to absorb the water. Why am I saying this? Because as clay, as humanity, when you study the body, our body is more percentage of water. Our body holds a lot of water. Our body is made to absorb water. Water is one of the most essential parts in our diet and our nutrition to have a healthy body. Why is this so important? Because even when the clay is in the potter's hand, it has to have some moisture. And one of the key things that potters use to mold and shape clay is water. And when we talk about this, I want to be able to put in perspective the relationship between the clay, which is us, and the potter, which is God. Now, when you look at this scripture, Jeremiah 18 and 6, he says, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter?" He's asking a question. God is asking a question. And I'll be putting it to us. He says, "Can I do with you as this potter is doing with this clay on the wheel?" If you read the scriptures in the beginning, it shows that the potter has this clay on the wheel, and he's beginning to shape and mold this clay how he sees fit. But God's asking, he's telling Jeremiah to go back and say to his people, "Will you allow me to do what the potter is doing with the clay?" Now, I want you to understand that God do not force himself on nobody. God do not force himself on us. God has given us something that he has not even given his angels. That is free will. We have a choice if we want to serve God or not. We have a choice to decide if we want God to mold us and make us into what he sees fit. Where does that start? I want you to understand this. When we accept God into our life, and this is where the relationship comes in. When we accept God into our life, this is the beginning of a relationship between the clay and the potter. You are saying, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saying, "I am now saying that I am no longer my own. I have put myself into the hands of the potter, which is Jesus Christ." I'll put myself into the hands of God for him to mold me and to shape me into what he see fit. And I want you to understand that even though when we give God our life and we get saved, it does not preclude, it does not stop from what God is still making us to be. Why am I saying this? Because as the potter used the wheel to shape and to form and to mold the clay into what he wants it to be, God uses the situations in our life to make us, to mold us, to shape us, to build us into what he has us to be. It's the lumps that we go through in our life. Some of us have dry spells in our life. Some of us go through brokenness in our life. Some of us go through all kinds of different things in our life that you would think that it will break us. But if you read this scripture, the Bible says that if you go back to the beginning of the scripture, and I want to go up there where it says it was marred. In verse 4, he says, "In the vessel that he had made of clay, was marred in the hand of the potter." I want to emphasize that because that is a prophecy of past and future. He says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." What is he saying there? He's saying that the vessel that he had made was broken down. He broke down this vessel that he originally made. God created Adam. And when he created Adam, Adam sinned. And because he sinned, humanity falls in sin. But there was a second Adam that came in. And our Bible teaches us and tells us the second Adam is Jesus Christ. So God broke down this clay that we know as Jesus Christ. He was marred in the hands of God. The Bible says that he was broken. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. We know that Jesus was broken. He had to be broken. If he was not broken, we would not have a chance to be reshaped or made. But the Bible teaches us that he was marred in the hands of God. He realized and said, "God, is not my will, but it's your will. Let your will be done in my life." And we have to get to a point in our life that we say to God, "It's no longer what I want. It's no longer what I want to do. It's no longer what I want to go. But God, whatever you say, let your will be done." That's when you begin to let God begin to shape you and mold you through the situations and all the things that you go on, that goes on through your life. The prophecy was that God broke Jesus. Not physically, that's what I want you to understand, not his body. The Bible says not one bone was broken in his body. But yet he was remade, the old Adam was remade through Jesus Christ. Adam could not fulfill the promises. Adam could not live a life that was set before him by God. Sin overcame. But thank God for Jesus. I want to teach this. I don't want to preach this. But thank God for Jesus. Anytime he could have said, "I'm getting off this wheel." When they spit on him, when they whipped him, when they had him to carry the cross, when they slapped him, and all the things that they did to him, he could have said, "I do not have to deal with this." And I'm saying this because why? You're going to go through some things in your life and you're going to say, "I don't have to do this. I don't have to go through this." Why am I allowing them to treat me this way? I don't have to take this hurt. I don't have to take this pain. But if you want God to make you, if you want God to mold you, if you want God to shape you into what he asks you to be, you got to say, Lord, help me. Help me to stay on the wheel as I go through life. Help me to be able to transition to what you have me to be in your hands. Because I want you to understand that now this relationship between the potter and the clay is a intimate, this is a close relationship. Why am I gonna keep saying that? Because the potter has a job to make sure that the clay in his hand is created into what he has it to be. And what is that? Every piece of clay that's put on the wheel, every piece of clay that the potter placed on the wheel, he already has, or he has a vision of what he wants to mold this clay into. A vessel. He wants to shape, to take this, transition this clay into a vessel. He wants to change something that is, has no form. He wants to change something that has been broken. He wants to change something that has been, have all kind of maybe issues with it. But he wants to create a vessel. He want to make something for his glory, for his purpose, what he sees. Because a person would tell you that when they put this, when a potter put this clay on the wheel, they don't just see the clay. They see what the clay can become. Woo. They see what the clay is already is, not what it's going to become, but they see the clay in this original state of what it's going to be or what it's made to be. All the potter is doing is getting rid of those things that's taking away the form, that's taking away what the clay really is. Any artist will tell you, any sculptor will tell you, before they even begin to paint, before they begin to shape that sculpture, they already see in that big bed of rock, or they see on that blank canvas what that canvas is going to be, what that big rock is going to be. It's already there. They're just shaping away those things to bring it to fruition. What am I telling you tonight? I'm trying to tell you that God sees you for who you are. God sees you in your original state when he created you. But because of the sins of the world, because of the desires of our flesh, it has put all these other things around us. So God says, I will remake you in my hands and make you a vessel of my use. Make you a vessel. That there's two purposes for a vessel. And I wrote this down. There's two purposes why a vessel is created and made. The first purpose the vessel is made is to show off the potter's skill, the potter's mastery. The vessel is made for a representation of the potter, not the visualization of the clay. I'm gonna say that again. The vessel is made for the representation of the potter. It represents who the potter is. When you go see a painting and you go and see these Michelangelo paintings, these Picasso paintings, you go see all this great artwork. And when you go over into the Middle Eastern countries and Rome and Italy and France, and how you see all this artwork in the chapels and all that, you are at all about what you see. But really what gets your mind, you think about the one that created. How could somebody create that? How did they get that in their mind to sculpt this big old statue, or when they did the painting, when Picasso or Michelangelo, when they do these paintings, you see it, it's because of their name. Those paintings represent them. The painters don't say nothing. Lord, help me here tonight. The painters don't jump off the canvas and say, here I am. I'm a painter. No. Because of the representation of their artist, you said that is a Michelangelo painting. That is a Picasso painting. Because you know the representation of the potter or the artist or the sculptor. What am I saying? When people see us, they should not just be seeing us because we're just clay. Lord, I don't want to preach this, but I want to teach this. We're just clay. We're just from the ground, the earth. But when we get into the hands of God, it's not for us to be visualizing who we are, but it's to represent the potter, who God is. When he makes that vessel and, people see us and they see God has formed us and God has made us, even though through our life we might have been broken up or we might have had lumps in our lives or we might have went through some situations that brought about dry spells. But while you was on that wheel, God took the time and threw some water where you was dry. And he makes some water on this side to bring you some moisture. Or he saw there was lumps on this side. He removed the lumps as he was making you. While you was on that wheel, or you was going through that situation in your life, it spinning you and spinning you. And as you were spinning you, God was shaping you. Woo! As you were going through the things in your life, God was shaping you to what he has you to be. So that's the first purpose of the vessel, is to show the representation of the potter, the representation of the creator, not the creation, but the creator. The second part of a vessel, it is used as a container. It is used to hold something. When a potter creates a vessel, he makes that vessel to hold something. Why are we created? We are created to hold God. When I'm saying holding God, God should be in our lives. He's in us. We no longer ourselves. And I speak of that because in a relationship, sometimes we are so focused on trying to be something we want to be. We so focused on what we want to be in our lives. But I go back to my original question. Are you willing to let God make you? Are you willing to let God shape you into what he has you to be? We already created in the image of God. We can't, and I want you to understand that. The human body has not transformed. But it was through the sins of this world and the cares of life and the lust of the flesh had brought about all these other minerals or other things into our body or into our creation that makes us not showing the representation of God, but make us a representation of the world. We want to be more like the world than of God. But God is asking us, he is saying, can I do with you as the potter deal with the clay? Because he says, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine. Child of God, I want you to understand tonight that you are in the potter's hand. You are in the master's hand. And if you know that, and you have a relationship with him, stay on the wheel. Let him make you. Let him shape you. Let him form you into what he has you to be. Because at the end, he will get the glory out of your life. At the end, you would be a representation of him. So when people see you, they would say, that is a child of the true and living God. That is a child, prince of princes of the king. That's how people will see you. I'm closing with this. Paul said in Romans 12 and 1, and beginning of verse 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I want you to understand that. He said, present it. In other words, you got to present your body. You got to give yourself to God. God is not going to take you. God is not going to just take you and control you. That's not the kind of God we serve. He wants you to willingly accept him. He wants you willingly to say, Lord, I'm in your hands. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. I want you to understand that this is your purpose in life. Your purpose in life. And I'm closing with this. Your purpose in life is to serve God. Your purpose in life is to be a representation of God. Wherever you go, someone should see God in your life. Somebody should say, whoo, that is a pretty vessel. Ooh, you are a godly vessel. And they should want to be a godly vessel. They should want God to mold and make and shape them. Are we willing to allow God to make us? I'm not telling you that it's an easy thing. I'm not going to tell you that there won't be no challenges along the way. I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be no lumps. There's not going to be no brokenness. There's not going to be no hurt. But I will tell you that if you stay on the will of God, if you stay in the master's hand, when he get through making you, you will be a vessel of honor unto God. Thank God tonight. I hope that something was said that will continue to encourage you to let God mold you and shape you. Continue to let God bless you. Continue to let God finish his work in you. Because if he started it, he will finish it if you allow him to. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God. We know that we are in your hands. We know, God, that you are a potter and you see our vision, or you see what you have for us. And you see what you're going to make us into. So, God, I pray right now that somebody, God, might need encouragement to let them know that, God, you are in control of every situation in their lives. And let them know that their end is going to be better than their beginning. So we thank you right now, God. We bless you. And we give you all the praise. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we thank God for you tonight. We pray that you continue to stay on the wheel and be in the potter's hand. Be blessed in Jesus' name.